Morning. Today's daf in Chulin is Kuf Vav. We are in Kuf Amud Beis. Life advice given unto us by Abaye. A number of different life advices that are provided by him. Only thing I guess surprises me is that he does not quote his mother. Usually, when Abaye doles out life advice, so he quotes his mother, as we know famously. So Abaye is orphaned and Abaye is raised. Raised by Rabba, right? Generally, is how we view it. And very often throughout Shas, he quotes his mother, not his biological mother, but his foster mother, and so he doles out life advice all the time throughout the Gemara. Yesterday he does so, and a number of things that are discussed in yesterday's Gemara, a lot of them don't have application to us nowadays. But Bizman HaGemara, though, this was obviously very relevant and very pertinent. We got onto the topic because the Gemara spoke about Mayim Rishonim, Mayim Rishonim, and Mayim Achronim. And Abaye started off the discussion by commenting that he originally thought that Mayim Rishonim had something to do with Nikias, it had something to do with cleanliness, but then he comes to discover that it's a little bit more than that. I'm sorry, he said regarding Mayim Achronim. Right, it had to do something with Nikias, and then he discovered that it had to do more with that. We're going to talk today a lot about Mayim Rishonim and Mayim Achronim. It comes up predominantly in our daf today. So, but let's finish up. We are going over some of the advice that we're giving to us by Abaye. If you remember yesterday, we talked about topics that were discussed by Abaye in yesterday's daf was removing things from the table while people are drinking. We talked about the collection of crumbs and making sure you're not leaving crumbs around. We talked about the foam that accumulates on the top of a drink, wine, beer, or even water. That's what we got to. And Amar Abaye. So we are now picking up where we left off yesterday. We are in Kuf Amud Beis. It's about two-thirds of the way down in the Amud. The first word in the line is Da'amri Inshi, and right in the middle of that line. The Amar Abaye. Mireshav, I mean, originally I would say Da'haydalo Achle Yiraka Mikisha. Not eating a vegetable from a bundle. Meaning you went to the farm, and you bought yourself a bundle of vegetables. A farmer did the job for you of collecting and compiling and bundling it together. And right now, here's something Abaye says you should not do. What you should not do is you shouldn't pick out one vegetable from the bundle. Meaning when you're ready to eat it, so you unbundle the whole thing and you'll prepare the whole thing. But don't take out one from the bundle. Now, why not? Da'asar gina, that the gardener bundled together. So, mishum demechte kera'av tanusa. So Abaye says the reason why is because you look like a glutton. In other words, not proper mitzvah, it's not proper etiquette. And you don't want to ever give off the impression that you look like a glutton. You want to look like a refined human being. So Amalei Mayim Mishum Dekashu L'Kshafim, but the Gemara says, but there's another consideration, and that is Kshafim. Sorcery. It's bad for... It enables sorcerers to have power. Don't expect me to explain this any better than I just did. So, okay. And the Gemara follows this up with a story. Rav Chisav Rava Barav Huna Havu Ka'azle Ba'arva. So both the Amoraim, Rav Chis and Rava, were on a ship. Amar Lahu Ayim Machunusa. So this woman on the ship, Usvan Bahadai, so she gives an invitation that they sit together with her. Lo Usva. And they said, thank you, but no thank you, ma'am. So Amra Milsa Asrasal Arba. So she said something, in other words, she gave some sort of incantation. She was a sorcerer, as is now become clear and evident in the story. And the boat comes to a halt. Amru Inu Milsa Sharyuha. So they say something and they allow the boat to move now with their canter incantation. Now, that's obviously a little bit strange, meaning the whole story obviously to us is strange, but the idea that they're coming back with a counter incantation, so that sounds a little bit strange. If you take a look at Rashi, Amru Inu Milsa, I'm reading the Rashi inside, Af Hein Hayu Bikim Bedavar V'Usan Lahasal Asma Miyana Mechshol. So, from the first impression you get in Rashi, is that they were practicing some sort of sorcery. Yeah, you shouldn't be doing that. But right, Rashi uses the expression "lahatzil atzmam miyad hamichshol." So they were trying to save themselves. Now I may be injecting a little bit into Rashi, but it sounds like sakanas nefashos. And so, therefore, for the purpose of saving their lives, so they're getting involved in a little bit of sorcery. But again, I may be saying a little too much in Rashi, but that's the impression you get. Ikida Amri, if you take a look at the next line of Rashi, the next explanation of Rashi, Sha'amru Shame V'lo Mucha Milsa. So what they did is they said Shame Hashem. Now, not really sure how to go over this second half of Rashi, meaning that maybe it wasn't an incantation and maybe it wasn't any form of sorcery, in other words, but they asked for HaKadosh Baruch Hu for some divine help, and maybe they also said the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu for that divine help, and maybe in the second pshat of Rashi, it's not a violation of any kind of sorcery. Okay, could be. Anyway, but certainly very interesting. So Amar Lehu Mayav Lechu. So now, as far as the witch is concerned, that I was on the boat together with these Amoraim, so she said back to them, you know what, you guys, I know you guys are going to beat me on this, on the sorcery stuff. Why? Because first of all, you don't wipe yourself with earthenware. And again, things that make yourself susceptible to sorcery, so you don't wipe yourself with earthenware, and you don't kill any kind of lice that are on your clothing, and also you don't rip a vegetable out of the bundle and eat that vegetable out of the bundle. And again, now we've just punctuated the whole point of the Gemara, and that is if you take a bundle of vegetables and you pick out one of the bundles, so it's not just a question of you looking like you are a ravenous individual, but on top of that, also makes you susceptible to sorcery. I'm Rabbi Imresha Vamina, Haidalo Achle Raka Danafal, Ataka Mishum Misusa. Now, if a vegetable falls off of the tray, so to pick it up and to eat it, that's mouse. That's something which is disgusting. So I'm Alimar Mishum Dekashla Recha Pet. But the Gemara says, but in addition to that, it's also bad for bad breath. The Gemara gives another one. I'm Rabbi Imresha Vamina, Haidalo Yasve Tuse Marziva. The fact that you should be standing under a drain pipe, mishum shovchim, because you know what comes down the drain pipe. So when I say drain pipe, by the way, probably some sort of sewer system. And so what comes over there is shovchim, meaning the water that people used. So it's disgusting. It's got refuse in it, and so clearly it's disgusting. So that's one reason why you shouldn't be underneath the drain pipe. But Amar Limar Mishum, Dishchichim Mazikin, but also going to find Mazikin over there. And so here we have a very clear Gemara, another very clear Gemara, that introduces us to the world of demons and Bizmana Gemara. So it was very popular. And so the Gemara says, Hanushkulai Dahavu Dahavu Daru Chavita Dechamra. So there were these porters that were carrying barrels of wine, and baul itpuche, and they needed to take a break. In other words, they were carrying heavy barrels of wine, and with that pause that they took, usve tuse marziva, they were right under, usve tuse marziva, they went right under the gutter, where the where we now come to learn that the mazikim lie. Pak'ah. And the jug breaks open because of the mazikin. Also coming to Mar Baravashi. So they go to Mar Baravashi. And here we have a really strange episode in the Gemara where the mazikin are being taken to court. Now, at this point in time, generally speaking, right, are they human entities that could be litigated with and could be taken to court? I would have said no, but I have this Gemara, and this Gemara seems to be pretty clear. So the Mar Baravashi Afik Shipure Shamte. And a shofar was blown, and they were placed in Cherem. So they were placed in Cherem. Maybe they were subpoenaed. Maybe they were summoned. Maybe they ignore the summon. So you'll forgive my pun for the morning, but if you blow a summon, so then they blow the shofar. So that's, you know, that could be it. But also, Kame Amrle Amai Ta'aved Hachi. So finally they did come to court. And the simple question, why did you behave in that manner? So Amrle Hechi Aved Kiusva. So they said, look, what are you supposed to do? In other words, they took the barrel and they put it right in our ear. So Amar le at beduch to shchicha rab in my bais. The counter response is, yeah, but that's where people are. In other words, you can't just simply lie around where people congregate all the time and where there's traffic is heavy all the time. So the atu deshanit zilshlim. And he says, look, you're the ones who deviated, meaning you shouldn't have been in a place where other people were. And so now you have the obligation to pay. So Amale Hashanami Likvali Mar Zimna Viipara. So the Mazik says back to the Dayan, okay, look, I'm ready to pay, but I'm not ready to pay. Meaning I'm willing to pay, but right now I need time to collect money. So give me some time to collect money and I'll go ahead. So Kavale Zimna says, okay, fine. So he gave him a deadline. And Kimata Zimna Yaakev. And now the deadline comes and goes, and the mazik has not yet paid for the barrels in which he broke. And now he says to him, well, how come? How come you haven't come when you were supposed to? Amalei, in other words, eventually he did pay, but he paid past the deadline. So Amalei, so this is now the Mazik explaining why it is that he has not paid on time. Look, if anything is tied up, if anything is sealed, if anything is measured, if anything is counted, so I just simply have no permission to take that. Ad nemishkachinam beidev kera. Only when it's left in some sort of random, haphazard manner, then and only then am I allowed to take it. And so basically it took me a while to collect anything that belonged to Hefker. Okay, the life of a mazik. Amar Abaye, we're almost done. Meresh hava amina, hai deshade maya mipuma dechatzva, mishum tzivsa. So there was a minhag where basically when you had water, what you would do is you would throw off the top layer of the water, off of a jug, and you would do that because of wood, mishum tzivsa. Rashi says, ksamim v'kashin sha'al p'nei hamayim. So basically there were twigs and straw that was on the top of the water, and what you had to do is you had to get rid of those twigs and that straw. Okay, good. And that is why you knocked off the top layer of water. The Gemara also provides a second reason as well. And Rashi over here, okay, so it could very well be that a demon drank from it previously, and that would not bear well for you. And once again, we follow this up with a story. Hahu bar shida d'ave beirav papa. So there was a shade that was in the vicinity, in the house, literally the house of Rav Papa. Azal asui mayim nahara, and he went to go get water from the river. I akev, and he delayed. Ki also amr le amai iaktav. Why'd you delay? Amr lu ad dechafi mayim harayim. He says, look, I didn't just simply draw the water. I had to draw the water, and I also had to take the skim off the top layer, because that top layer is mayim harayim. So ad hachi chazina dekashadu mayim mipume dechatzva. And he sees that he actually also knocks off the top layer of the water. Amar Iavi Adana de Regila Lameavit Hachi Loyakve. He says, oh, I didn't know you did that. If I knew you did that, I wouldn't have done that myself, and I wouldn't have delayed. Okay, so all the life advice provided by Abaye, I wrote notes on the side of the Gemara. Okay, it started with Mayim Rishon and Mayim Achronim, but then it moved into a host of other topics, removing things from the table while other people are drinking, cleaning up the crumbs, knocking off the foam off the top of the drink, eating from the bundles, vegetables that fall off the table, sitting under a drain pipe, and skimming off the top of water that was just drunk from. Okay, that was just collected from the river. We are now on Kuf Vav Amud Aleph. We are today's daf and three lines down. So basically, in order to understand Rav Dimi, first things first, there is Mayim Rishonim, there is Mayim Achronim. Mayim Rishonim, when we wash our hands before we eat. Now, typically, we wash our hands before we eat bread. Not typically, that's what we do. That's the mitzvah. Why? Coming up later in today's daf. Today's daf, Chulin, Kuvav, is really one of the main gemaras that discuss the mitzvah of Mayim Rishonim. Mayim Achronim, as we learned in yesterday's daf, and we're going to review a little bit today, Mayim Achronim has to do with the fact that after you ate, so you have to wash your hands. Wash your hands primarily to get rid of the melchizedek, the corrosive salt that exists on the food that you ate. And so even if there are trace amounts of this really corrosive salt, so it's not good. Also, the Gemara used an expression yesterday called zuama, just in general, just to be clean after you complete the meal. So that's my machronim. You remember yesterday, the Gemara, we discussed how my machronim is a mitzvah. And the reasons behind the mitzvah we're going to be discussing in today's daf. And Mayim Achronim is a chova. So the Gemara calls it an obligation. Right? Chova sounds even stronger than that of a mitzvah. And oddly enough, and ironically enough, according to a number of Rishonim, and you saw one of them in yesterday's daf, Tosfos back in yesterday's daf, Kuf Hamad Aleph, discusses how Mayim Achronim can be a little bit more negotiable because we know the reason why we have to do Mayim Achronim, and the reason no longer applies, and therefore we don't do Mayim Achronim. Again, that's not a consensus viewpoint, but that is the opinion of Tosfos, based on the fact that, okay, that's just simply Tosfos. But anyway, so we have Mayim Rishonim, we have Mayim Achronim. Also, by the way, coming up very, very, very slightly in yesterday's daf, very subtly in yesterday's daf, there's also something referred to as Mayim Emtsayim, right, between the courses. But anyway, So there's Mayim Rishonim and there's Mayim Achronim. And now the Gemara points out, you got to be careful about Mayim Rishonim, Mayim Achronim. What are the consequences if you don't take care of Mayim Rishonim, Mayim Achronim? So the Gemara over here gives us two very quick stories, and the Gemara does not give us much of any detail. Rav Dimi says, when Rav Dimi comes in from Eretz Yisrael, he says that Mayim Rishonim ha'achilu basar chazer. Because somebody was not careful about Mayim Rishonim, so he went to the restaurant or to the butcher, and what was he served? He was served chazer meat. Mayim Achronim, because somebody was not careful about it, a man divorced his wife because he was not careful about Mayim Achronim. All right, there's obviously a lot missing in the stories. There's a lot of gaps over here, and we're not really expected to understand the stories as just simply presented to us by the Gemara. Let's turn to Rashi. Rashi over here in part number one of the story. So Hachila Basar Chazer Tav Rashi and the Yamat Shahaya Chanvani Yisrael Mocher Basar Shkuta Yisrael Umevasho Umachilam Ukeshav Kochavim Ba Bechanusa Machilo Nevelas. So Rashi over here points out that there was a butcher. When a Jew walked into a store, he sold them kosher meat, and when a guy walked into a store, so he sold them non-kosher meat. Now, this Rashi obviously in itself is super interesting. Generally speaking, it's prohibited for a Jew to make a business of selling non-kosher meat. Meaning, on an occasion where you have nevel and trefa, and you sell it to a guy on occasion, that's perfectly legitimate. There is no isser hana when it comes to nevel and trefa. However, to make a business out of it, so that is something which is generally prohibited. So Rashi over here is describing some sort of scenario in which it sounds like he's doing so. Okay, I'm telling you the Rashi is interesting. Uva Yehudi echad le'echol, I'm continuing in the Rashi, and along comes a Jew, and v'lo nato yadov, and he didn't wash his hands. Ukesav zeh shovei kochavim hu ve'achilu basar chazer. Now, first of all, another interesting point of Rashi is that he couldn't tell the difference between Jew and non-Jew just by simple appearance and how they walked into the store. Meaning the only way that he was able to discriminate between Jew and non-Jew is based on the behavior, and that is specifically of the washing of the hands. Okay, that's another interesting part of Rashi, but anyway.
Why did he have to wash his hands?
Well, I assume he was going to have a meal. In other words, I say butcher. It's more like a restaurant. Okay, whatever. Clearly the context was that it was a situation where he was supposed to wash his hands. He didn't wash his hands, assumed to be a guy, and he gave him basar chazer. That's right. That's okay. It's an interesting situation. No, I understand that. Nevela, when Rashi sets it up, it's a good diuk in Rashi. When Rashi sets it up, Rashi just, in the first reference of Nevela just simply meant not kosher. And you'll see there are two versions of the story. One version is Nevela and the other version is Chazer. Okay, but it's a good diuk. The next Rashi explaining now the second scenario. So that was Mayim Rishonim. So because of carelessness regarding Mayim Rishonim, so somebody ate Chazer. Second Rashi, because of carelessness of my machronim, a man divorced his wife. So Rashi over here says, I'm not going to give you the whole story. Rashi over here says, go to the final parak of Yuma, the eighth parak of Yuma, be'uvda dekidur, ikalamanda makadla, ikalamanda malokadla, ela afka. Now, there's a story with kidur over there. I'll tell the story momentarily. And there are two possible outcomes, meaning we have two versions of the story. In one, he killed his wife, and in the second one, he just divorced her. Okay. Second one is just a little bit easier to handle. But in any event, what's the story? The story goes like this. So there was a man by the name of Kidur, that was his name, and he had guests over, and Kidur had a good sum of money over there in the house. If I remember correctly, they gave him the money. They owed him the money. Whatever the case was, he had a good amount of money in the house. And so later in that day, so the guest came back to the house, came knocking on the door, saw Kidur's wife, and said to his wife, you know, your husband told us to give us the money, money that they were not entitled to. Your husband told us to give us the money. So she said, no, I'm not going to give you the money. I don't trust you. And they said, oh, right. In other words, you want to know if we're telling the truth. So here is what Kidur ate for his last meal. Whatever he ate over here, we know what you served him, and he didn't eat in public. He ate privately in the house, and so we're telling you that he divulged to us what he ate, and in other words, he gave us sensitive information and give us the money. So she was basically tricked into the fact that they were in fact were being sent by the husband, and she gave them the money, and they obviously ran away with the money. And when the husband comes home and discovers that his wife gave away the money, so he got good and angry, and one of two consequences. One, either he divorced his wife, which is our version that we're learning right now, and in just a moment we're going to learn a second version, which is that he killed her. Now, how is it that they knew what he had for his last meal? So the answer is not because he told them, but because when you do Mayim Achronim, what you're supposed to do is you're supposed to wash your hands and supposed to wash your face as well. Meaning Mayim Achronim means, again, it goes to the idea of not just removing the corrosive salt off your fingertips, but it has to do with just general cleanliness. You got to be clean. And so you finish the meal and you got food all over your face and all over your hands and you got to remove it. And that's Mayim Achronim. And he didn't. And so when he met with these two gentlemen, so he had food all over his mouth and they literally saw what he ate. He didn't have to tell them. So he wasn't careful about Mayim Achronim, and the consequence of that is that in our first version, he divorced her. Now, Kiyasa Ravin, now, you know this happens often. Rav Zimi comes in from Eretz Yisrael, tells a story. Ravin comes in, tells a similar story, or reports a similar halacha, but with slight variation. So over here, Kiyasa Ravin Amar Rishon Me'achil Basar Nevela Achronim Harguos HaNefesh. So same point, just slight different variation in terms of what was the consequence. So in the Mayim Rishonim, so because the person was killed by Mayim Rishonim, so he ate Nevela. Okay, really slight difference. Chazir versus Nevela. In Ravin's version, with Kidur and his wife, so because she gave away the money, Kidur killed his wife. Okay. Am Rav Nachman Yitzchak v'simancha asar Rav Dimi afka asar Ravin katla. And Rav Nachman says, I'll give you a great mnemonic in terms of how to remember who said which version of the story. We have Rav Dimi, we have Ravin. And the way it is always formatted in the Gemara, Rav Dimi comes first, Ravin comes second. I have an eye to this, I'm going to be sensitive to it. I will look in terms of whether this is always true. But right now I will say it's almost always true. Rav Dimi comes first, Ravin comes second. That's the way it's always presented in the Gemara. He was angry. What do you mean, why?
No, I understand that. Did they take him to task for it?
Oh, what happened to Kidur afterwards? I don't remember. I don't remember the Gemara Yuma. Anyway, so Asar of Dimi Afka, Asar Ravin Katla. So first, it's a mnemonic. It's just it's a cute imagery, but it's certainly going to help us remember. So Rav Dimi comes in and divorces her, meaning Rav Dimi, of course, doesn't divorce her. But in other words, his version of the story is divorces her. But Rav Dimi comes in, divorces her, and Ravin comes in and kills her. Now, again, Ravin doesn't kill her. In other words, Ravin just has a version. But it's just a great way to have it. In other words, you can't kill a woman and then divorce her. It just doesn't work that way, right? So the obvious sequence of events was that one divorces her and then the other one, next one, kills her. Okay, Rabbi Abba Masti Chada Mehana V'Chada Mehana L'Chumra. Now, Rabbi Abba has a third version of the story in which he takes the worst of both versions. Meaning, in the case of the Mayim Rishonim and the carelessness of Mayim Rishonim, Chazir. Chazir is worse than Avela for reasons which we're going to discuss in just a moment. And then, in terms of the Kidur version of the story, so the killing of his wife. So he has another version in which the worst of each event happened. Eating Chazir is worse than eating Nevela. Now that's really interesting. And there's a really interesting Rashi over here. If you would have asked me, I would have said, what's worse, Nevela or Chazir? I would have said, I'd say push. Because consider, eating Nevela is a lav in the Torah, eating Chazir is a lav in the Torah. And I understand that Chazir has got, you know, it's got more of a reputation of being more treif, but halachically, I would have told you, it's not any more treif. It's a lav, and it's a lav. However, Rashi says over here that when it comes to Chazir, it's actually two lavin. Rashi says it's one lav for being a Chazir, meaning being a behemoth tamea, and it's the second lav because it wasn't shechted. And so therefore, it's also a nevela. Now, before the Rashi, I would have told you, what? In other words, it's behemoth tamea. And as far as the second Isser of Nevela, ain't Isser Chalal Isser. One Issa doesn't come and superimpose on top of another Issa. We just spent a lot of days talking about it in the daf at the end of the seventh parak. So what is Rashi talking about? First of all, Rashi is explaining the Gemara, meaning the Gemara is saying it's a chumrah, meaning it's more stringent, it's more severe to eat chazer than is nevela. So don't fault Rashi. Rashi is just simply explaining the Gemara. So what you have to say, you don't have to say this, but I think what you have to say is that when it comes to eating chazer, that wasn't shechted, so enachinami, meaning it is behemoth tamei, and it's also nevela. Now, you may never get punished for nevela. Why? Because ein iser chal al iser. But as we discussed already pretty recently in the daf, in other words, the second iser is there. You're not going to get, right? The Gemara's Loshon that we learned a couple days ago, mitla tale, meaning it's suspended, it's there. So you may not get punished for the second iser because of ein iser chal al iser, but that doesn't mean that the iser isn't there. The iser is there. And so therefore, when you're eating chazer that wasn't shechted, so ein achinami, it's behemoth tamei and it's nevela. An unpunishable nevela, but still, it's nevela. Okay. Itmar. We're on Kufa Vamad Aleph. We are now about a quarter of the way down, and a discussion in the Gemara regarding Mayim Rishonim and Mayim Achronim. Itmar. Chamei Or. If, let's say, I have really hot water, water that was cooked in a fire. Chizki Amar Eino Lemem Le'Yadayim, Rav Yochanan Amar Eino Lemem Le'Yadayim. So Machlok is over here whether or not you wash your hands with this water or you do not wash your hands with this water. Now, you'll remember in yesterday's daf, so we had a discussion about using water which was either above or below Yad's lettuce bowl. So what you have to do, and the Rishonim do that, and you'll see Rashi and Tosfos do it right here, is you compare yesterday's daf to today's daf, and is there agreement, is there no agreement? So right, Rashi says very clearly, there is disagreement. Mayim Rishonim u'palig adela el u'chizki atanahu. So this goes against what we learned in yesterday's daf. Yesterday's daf, we learned that you're not allowed to wash hands with water that's over Yad's lettuce bowl. And over here, we're saying, at least according to Chizkia, that you are, Chizkia says you're not allowed to, and Rav Yochanan says you are allowed to. Okay. Anyway, Amar Rav Yochanan Shalti is Rabbi Gamliel Benosha Rabbi Va'ochel Taharos, the Amar Li Kol Gedole Galo Osin Kain. So I spoke to Rabbi Gamliel, who is the son of Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, and he said that the Gedolei Galo, the greats, the giants, the Torah giants of Galo, in fact, do so. They wash their hands using hot water. Chamei Tveria. Now, what about water that comes from the hot springs of Tveria? Where, by the way, all the Tanaim, all the late generation Tanaim, that's exactly where they were living. So Chizki Amar, Inolim Mehem Liyadayim Ava Matpilim Mehem Ayadayim, Rav Yochanan Amar, Kol Gufo Tova Behem, Ava Lopanav Yadav Viraglav. So first, let's go over the sheet of Chizki. He says that you cannot use it for Netilas Yadayim, but you could use it to tovel your hands. A brief explanation. Over here, when it comes to the cleansing of your hands, the purification of your hands for the eating of bread, so there is one of two ways in which you can purify your hands to eat bread. One is what's called netilas yadayim. Netila, natla in Aramaic is a reference to a cup. You take water, you put into a cup. That water, that cup has to be holding a minimum of a revius of water. It's not a lot. It could be basically 4 ounces of water, and you take it and you pour it over your two hands. That's what's called netilas yadayim. And being that the hands being tame is only a din de rabbanan, so the chachamim were mekel in terms of the tahara process. You don't have to use a bona fide mikvah. However, there's another way to purify your hands, and it's very simple: take your hands and put them in a mikvah. In other words, netilas yadayim using a cup obviously represents a kula. But of course, what you could do is you could take your hands and you could mamish, put it into the mikvah itself. So Chizkiah says that when you have the Meitveria, something's wrong with it. Now, when I say something's wrong with it, meaning it cannot be used like regular water for reasons which I'll try to articulate in just a moment. So I can't use it for Netilas Yadayim, but Matpilim Behem Yadayim. If you want to use it like a mikvah, so that you're allowed to do. Meaning, certainly, it is natural spring water. And so to treat it anything less than a mikvah, you can't do. Meaning it's a mikvah. So you take your hands and you put it inside. But to then draw the water in a cup and use it through the method of netilas yadayim, that you're not allowed to do. Again, for reasons which we're going to try to clarify. And Rav Yochanan Amar Kol Gufo Tovel Behem Avalo Panav Yad Viraglav. And Rav Yochanan says that you could use it as a mikvah and you could tovel your whole body, but you cannot use it for your hands, feet, and face. Now, it's interesting, by the way, that he adds the feet over here. In other words, we're talking about washing your hands so that you can eat. and you're not going to be washing your feet. But generally speaking, however, minhag was is that when you were washing your hands, you were also you're washing your feet as well. So hashe kol gufa tova ben panei v'dav v'ragol lo kol shekein. The Gemara asked the question. I don't get it. You're telling me that I could use the chamei tveri according to Rav Yochanan. I could use the chamei tveri as a mikvah and tova my whole body in the chamei tveri, but I can't use it to tova my hands. That seems to be counterintuitive. Amar Papa bim kamen dekulei amar lo pligi d'shari. Okay, so Rav Papa goes and seeks clarification in this machlokus between Rav Yochanan Rav Yochanan and Chizkia. If it's bimkoman, if we're talking about where the water is in its natural source, there is no debate that it would be perfectly permissible. You could tovel in that water, you could take your hands and put it into the water, it would all be good. Mishkal, I assume so. Mishkal minayu bimana dekulei amar lo pligi. And if you take from the Chamei Tveria, there is no debate that, lo pligi da'asar. There's no debate that it would be prohibited. Now, we could say it. What's wrong with Chamei Tveria? I mean, clearly there's something off with it, and you can't use it for Netilas Yadayim. So here Rashi makes a comment. Rashi comments to Kulei Amar Asur, the Chitakun Rabban Netila, Lav Bechamen Takun. Because the entire institution of Netilas Yadayim is not with hot water. Rashi continues. Vahani Gri Mechamei Aor, Shalo Haisalem Shasa Kosher. Now, previously we were talking about Chamei Aor, and Rashi points out that there was a machlokus regarding the chamei or whether it can or cannot be used. But over there, this is even worse. Worse, says Rashi, why? Mishalo haisalem shasa kosher, because they never had a time where they were eligible. Meaning, when it comes to chamei or it was water which was acceptable, meaning in its natural cold state, then it was heated up. A question in the Gemara, whether the heating it up is going to ruin it from its status or not ruin it from its status of Netilas Yadayim. Over here, when it comes to chamei tveria, it was always hot. And being that it was always hot, so it never had a shasa kosher, and that's what makes it worse. So, right now, where are we in the Chamei Tveria? To use it in its natural location, fine. To take it in a kli and then use it, not acceptable. So, ki pligi de paskin bebas birta. So the Gemara says, with the machlokes between Rav Yochanan and Chizkia is limited to the following scenario. I take the water, I channel it into another pool, another area, and now I want to use that secondary area. So Marsav Gazrin Babirta Atumana or Marsav Lo Gazrinan. And so over here, the question of whether or not the Gezerah extends to this channeled area. Now, generally in the halachas of Mikvaos, so we say that if you have two bodies of water that are connected, so generally we say that that's good vis-a-vis Mikvah. But we're not talking about Mikvah over here. We're talking about the institution of Netilas Yadayim. And so for the institution of Tilas Yadayim, so the Chachamim now have a question in terms of whether or not the diverted water is acceptable or unacceptable. Ketanai, the Gemara points out, Machlokus Tanayim, on this issue, Maim Shenifsul Mashiach Behema, Bekelem Psulim, Bekarka Ksherim. If I have water that cannot be drunk from, so if I collected that water in a kli and try to use that water through the method of Netilas Yadayim, no good. Bekarka, if the water is naturally in the state in the ground, so then it's going to be kosher. Reb Shimon ben Elazar Amar Af Bekarka Tova Bam Kol Gufa Valopan Av Yadav Raglav. And the opinion of Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar is that in the ground, I could use it to tova my whole body, but not my hands, feet, and face. And the Gemara asked the question for now a second time in today's daf. How shall Kol Gufa Tova Bam Yadav Raglav Lo Kol Shekein? If I can tova my whole body in the water in its natural state, you don't think I could just simply take my hands and put it into the natural collected body of water? And again, the Gemara says what must be happening over here is that it's not the water collected in its natural state, but the water was rather channeled and diverted into a secondary pool. And the question now is that when that water is diverted, are we going to give it the status of Netilas Yadayim, or does it maintain the status of being a mikvah? Okay. Amar Rav Idi bar Avin, Amar Rav Yisrael bar Ashiya, Netilas Yadayim l'chulim im neisrach chuma. And so, on Kufav Amad Aleph, halfway down on the Amud, the Gemara over here gives us the reason behind Netilas Yadayim. Why is it that when we eat, and specifically eating bread, why is it that there's a mitzvah derabban to wash our hands? So the Gemara says because of srach truma, because it has something to do with truma. Now, what does it have to do with truma? It's a wonderful question. You and I are not eating truma. In fact, nobody today is eating truma, right? Yesterday we talked about chalas chutz la'aretz, and chalas chutz la'aretz is given to a kohen. Nowadays, we don't even do that. So no truma is eaten by a kohen. So what is this idea of sarach truma? So if you take a look at Rashi over here, netilas yadam l'chum in mesarach truma, I'm reading the Rashi inside. Hutzrachu she'adan shnios. The hands have a status of shnios. We've discussed this time and again. That when hands are not attended to, when you are mesiach das from your hands, so your hands now have the status of a sheni l'tuma. Uposlos es a truma. Now, in the event that my hands, which are a sheni, were to go ahead and to touch truma, so it disqualifies the truma. The truma now becomes pasul. Otherwise stated, as Ben just said, it's a shlishi. Ava chulin lo mahani behu sheni. Now, when it comes to chulin, your sheni hands are not going to affect the chulin at all. Chulin only become a sheni l'tuma and don't go any further. So to get everyone into the pattern and habit of making sure that they handle the truma with hands that are washed, so therefore an enactment was made for everybody to wash their hands so that those people who do eat truma, they're otherwise known as kohanim, those people who eat truma are going to be comfortable and always habituated to washing their hands. Really interesting that an entire takana was instituted, the way Rashi sets it up, an entire takana was instituted just to help out a segment of the population and habituate them to eat in a state of tahara. Now, we're not done yet. Let's go back to the Gemara. Va'od mishum mitzvah. And the Gemara says, I'm going to add on another reason why it is that we wash our hands before we eat, and because it's a mitzvah. Now, my mitzvah, I'm rabbi, mitzvah l'shmo divrei chachamim. So it is a mitzvah to listen to the chachamim. Meaning that once it falls under the category of a mitzvah to do so, so therefore now we are following the mitzvah of following the chachamim. Really interesting Tosfos over here. Tosfos right. It's a short Tosfos. Divrei maschal, mitzvah l'shmo divrei chachamim. V'im tam ravalo mishum srach truma teknua. What is the Gemara doing over here, giving a supplemental reason? We wash your hands because it's a mitzvah. Meaning, we just learned the reason. So what is supplemental over here? Tosfos continues, v'im kei mai va'od, v'yishlamar detakna mishum nikiyos. So Tosfos suggests over here that there may be a secondary reason also why we wash our hands as mayim rishonim, and that's because of cleanliness. Meaning, srach truma may be the impetus, but on top of that, in addition to that, the Chachamim also want us to exhibit patterns of behavior of nikiyos, of cleanliness. Back to the Gemara, Rava Amar Mitzvah Shema Divrei Rabbi Elazar ben Arach. Rava says basically the same thing, but specific to one of the Chachamim, and that's Rabbi Elazar ben Arach. Dichsiv, V'chol she'igabo zav yadav lo shataf memayim. Anything which the zav comes into contact, and yadav lo shataf, and you didn't wash your hands. And pshat in the pasuk is really hard to understand. Amar Rabbi Elazar ben Arach, mikan sam chachamim l'til se'dayim in HaTorah. So we have over here an asmachta. Right, some sort of connection from this pasuk to the mitzvah of netilas yadayim. So Amalei Rav L'Rav Nachman, my mashma dichsiv yadav lo shataf amayim, hashataf tahor, hatfila bayi. Now, even just simple pshat in the pasuk is really difficult to understand. Meaning, you wash your hands. I got news for you. When the zav is a zav, so washing his hands is not going to help him. Meaning, his tahara process is to tovel his entire body in the mikvah. So, what is the pasuk making reference to washing your hands? Now, as Tosfos over here points out, that the Gemara elsewhere, the Gemara, by the way, is in Nida. The Gemara elsewhere says that the whole point of this pasuk is to tell us which parts of the body have to go into the mikvah, the external parts of the body. Just like your hands are external portions of your body, only external portions of your body have to go into the mikvah. The mikvah does not have to go into orifices. The mikvah water does not have to go into your mouth. The mikvah water doesn't have to go into orifices. It only has to go into external portions of the body. That is the Gemara Nida and how it understands this pasuk. Meanwhile, our Gemara over here in Chulin learns out the following. Ella hachikamar ve'acher shelo shataf tamei. Meaning what we're going to do now is we're going to darshan the pasuk. If the zav doesn't tovel in the mikvah, and if somebody else doesn't wash his hands, so he's going to be tamei. And Amar Velazar, Amar Veyoshi, Allah, Amar Nitzel, I'm sorry, period. And that means to say that it's an asmachta, right? Tosfos says it clearly. It's an asmachta over here. The way we're darshing the pasuk right now It's an allusion to the idea of Netilas Yadayim, meaning fundamentally it's a mitzvah derabanan for the reasons which we already pointed out. Tzrach Truma, you want to also add Nikiyus. Good. And in terms of finding a pasuk that's merames to this idea, so we have the pasuk regarding Zav. Amar Rav Elazar, Amar Rabbi Yoshi, Alo, Amar Netilas Yadayim Leperos, Ela Mishum Nikiyus. So washing your hands for fruit. So yes, but because of hygiene. Sovra Minecha, Vahudaleka, Mitzvah Ika. Now, it sounds like, look, it's an obligation, but certainly mitzvah. Now, amalu ravalo chavavalo mitzvah l'rishos. No, it's not an obligation, it's not a mitzvah. It's just simply but optional. If you would like to wash your hands before eating fruit, you have the right. Upligidu Rav Nachman, damar Rav Nachman, anotol yadav l'peros eino elamigas eruach. Now, Rav Nachman says no, meaning not a mitzvah, not a chovah, not even a rishos. Don't wash your hands over fruit. The mitzvah derabbanan to wash your hands is over bread, washing hands over fruit. So that looks like religious arrogance, and one is not allowed to display or demonstrate religious arrogance. It's gasei haruach. Amar Rava bar Brachana hava kaimna kamin derabbi Amar v'Rav Asi aysel kameya kokol adeper va'achlo v'lo mashu yadayu v'lo yavale midi ubar chad chad lechudei. So the Gemara tells an episode in which these Amoraim received a basket of fruit. They didn't wash their hands before eating it. They didn't give me any to eat, even though they were two, and I would have been the third. Ubar chad chad lechudei. Everyone made a bracha achrona to themselves. So Shema Mina plus three things to learn from the story. Number one, Shema Mina ain't tells you that leperos, as we were already stated. But from the episode we just learned, you don't wash your hands for fruit. Shema Mina im zamnim al leperos, and there's no zimun for peros. When we eat bread and when three people eat bread together, so there's something called the zimun, where the head of the congregation, or whoever is appointed to be the head of the congregation, the mezamin, says, nivarech, let's bench. Over here, there's no zimun when it comes to the bracha achron over fruit, and shema mina, shleim shachlu mitzvah l'chalek, that when two people eat together, so in terms of making a bracha achrona, they should make a bracha achrona individually, not collectively. Tanya, when I say collectively, I mean one person make the bracha achrona, the other person listens and says amen. Two people eating. So there is no mitzvah for one to bench for the other. I say bench, by the way. I mean, I'm talking about bread. But it's really we're talking about fruit also. So we're just talking about bracha achrona in general. So there is no mitzvah to do so collectively, but rather each one make their own bracha achrona. However, if one person is knowledgeable and the other person is not knowledgeable, so of course in such a situation, the knowledgeable, the educated Jew should be making the bracha achrona, allowing the uneducated Jew to listen and to answer amen. The Gemara now discusses exactly where do you wash your hands. Again, a lot of Netilas Yadayim in today's daf. So ad haperek, for chulin, you only need to go up to your knuckles. Litruma ad haperek. And for truma, also you go up to your knuckles. Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim b'Mikdash ad haperek. When it comes to the washing of your hands, feet, in the base of Mikdash, also ad haperek. Rashi ad haperek over here points out Hasheni shebe emsa etzbaos. They came to Mishum Sarach Truma ba'amahu dayo inato b'mashon oge b'maichel dahein of Rashi etzbaos. So the reason why Rashi says we're going to be lenient is because, as we learned in today's daf, the mitzvah of Netilas Yadayim is only a din derabanan. I'm saying only in relative manner, in relative form. And so therefore, the only thing that you need to wash are only the parts of your hands that are coming into contact with the food. And Rashi's explaining the Gemara, assumes that that's only with our fingers, meaning the food's not going into the palms of our hands. And so therefore, you only need to wash up to your knuckles. Now, just like when you talk about the mikvah, you have to be concerned with chatzitza, that there could be nothing that prevents the water coming into contact with your body. Same thing is true regarding netilas yadayim. There has to be no chatzitza. And so a discussion out of the Gemara, but in the halacha, about rings and band-aids, etc., etc. So they're all important discussions coming straight out of this Gemara right here. Amar Rav ad kan lechulin ad kan lechuma. So Rav says right up until this point for chulin, right up until this point for truma. It would be a lot better if we saw Rav as he was saying this, because he was clearly pointing to parts on his hands, right? And the Shmuel Amar Adkan Bein Lechulin Bein Letruma Lechumra. Now Shmuel went up higher for Chulin and Truma, meaning Shmuel went beyond the fingers, and presumably he went up to the wrist for both Chulin and Truma. Rav Sheshes Amar Adkan Bein Lechulin Bein Letruma Lekula. Now Rav Sheshes is lenient for both Chulin and for Truma to just wash the fingertips. Amar Bar Hedja Hava Kaminakamid the Rebbe Ami Amar Adkan Bein Lechulin Bein Letruma Lechumra. So again, Amoraim are expressing their viewpoints in terms of how much you need to wash. And according to Rabbi Ami, for both Chulin and Truma, you have to be Machmer. V'lo temer Rabbi Ami Mishum Dekorin Hudaha Rabbi Meisha Bar Berei De Rav Yeshua Ben Levi Hu Levi V'Amar Adkan Ben Lechulin Ben Lechuma Lechumra. And he wasn't being Machmer just because he was a Kohen. In other words, Levi also espoused the same viewpoint that for Chulin and for Truma, she should wash up to the wrist. If possible, obviously, you wash up to the wrist. If not possible, so you have allowances in the Gemara, you have opinions in the Gemara that only need you to go up to your fingertips.